إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, yani from the character and morals of the prophets as a model, an example to be followed by Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. This is our 11th session, and tonight inshallah we'd like to talk about the ninth and tenth characteristic from the characteristics of the prophets and messengers alayhim as-salam bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Our topic tonight is their patience, yani the patience of the prophets and messengers in bearing the questioning of the people, yani bearing that questioning patiently and following that their cautiousness or yani their wariness and being careful not to speak about Allah without knowledge, yani not to speak about the deen of Allah without knowledge. Before we look at the two characteristics that we want to see tonight, we want to go back and quickly review what we talked about in the previous session based upon question and study guide number 10, the first question being discuss the advice of Ya'qub alayhi salam, which shows his care and concern for his son Yusuf alayhi salam, as mentioned in the Quran in the 12th surah and 5th ayat. Naam, Ahmed.
يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فكيد لك كيدا
فيقيد لك كيدا. نعم. Meaning,
oh my dear son, my dear little son, do not tell your brothers of your dream.
نعم.
They plan against you.
نعم. يعني يعقوب alayhi salam showing care and concern for his son Yusuf when his son informed him about a dream that he had out of fear that yani how his brothers would respond to it and the breakup of the family. He warned him not to narrate your story to your brothers, for they will make a plot and a plan against you. So he warned him not to tell them about his dream, and this shows yani his care and concern for his son Yusuf and for his family, yani for the yani the unity of the family. So the second question, discuss the advice of Ya'qub alayhi salam, which shows his care and concern for his other sons, yani the brothers of Yusuf, as mentioned in the Quran, same surah Yusuf, yani chapter 12, surah 12, ayah 67, yani Naam, Abu Sa'id.
He told him that the incident came to you, and once he failed to his voice would answer.
He said, don't enter the same gate. I couldn't hear the rest of what you said.
He told him not to enter the same gate all at once.
Oh, does he not enter? Yani, when they were going back to Egypt the second time, told him, don't go through one gate. Don't all enter all together through one gate for fear of what? For fear of isabat al-ayn, that perhaps yani they may be afflicted by the evil eye, any harm caused to them out of jealousy over their appearance and their condition. The third question, discuss the occasion and the significance of Ya'qub alayhi salam's final advice to his sons, as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 133rd ayat. Adam. Ishaq. Naam. Somebody else tell me, what is the meaning of this ayat that he mentioned? Naam.
Were you witnesses when death approached Ya'qub, and he said to his sons, what will you worship after me?
Naam, were you witnesses? Allah is asking the question, were you witnesses on this occasion when death approached Ya'qub, when he said to his sons, what?
What will you worship after me?
What will you worship after me? And they said to him, Naam. They say, we will worship your ilah, the one that you worship, and the ilah of your fathers, Ibrahim or Ismail or Ishaq, the one ilah, the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And we are in submission to him. And we are in submission to him. What is the significance of this Naam ayah on this occasion? Naam.
With him that he could think of at the time was to ask his children, what, who will be worshiping after
him? This is exactly it. That he was in firash al-maut, yani he was in the deathbed, and he questioned his children to see, yani the most important thing that he could ask them about, what would be their condition after him? What would they be doing in terms of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he, yani, died content, yani, with their response that they would worship his ilah, the ilah of his fathers, yani the one ilah, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this shows us the importance of yani this particular affair, the affair of the tawheed and iman in Allah, that this was the most important thing that he could confirm with his children on his deathbed before he died. That was the most important thing to him that he was concerned about, and this should be the most important thing to us in our life and at our death. Question number four, memorize and discuss the ayat from Surah Maryam 19, yani the 19th surah, 50 ayat 54 and 55, will show the care and concern of Ismail alayhi salam for his family. Naam. Fadlu, Shu'aib. جيد ما شاء الله. طيب somebody else tell me what is the meaning of this ayah, Surah Maryam. نعم عبد الله. I mentioned in the book Ismail. نعم. Verily he was truthful to his promise. يعني he fulfilled his promise. نعم. He was a messenger and a prophet. And now the shahid here now. Naam. Naam. He used to command his family with salat and with zakat. And he was mardiyya, yani pleasing to his Rabb, in front of his Rabb. He was pleasing to him. And this is the shahid here is what? That he used to command his family with salat and zakat. And he used to command them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially yani that which is exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is yani for the benefit of the people, the zakat. Question number five, discuss the significance of the concern shown by Musa alayhi salam towards his family before his prophethood. His concern before his prophethood. And this is mentioned in Surah An-Naml, 27th surah, 7th ayat. And what is the significance of his concern for his family before his prophethood? Naam. سأتيكم آتيكم أو آتيكم بشهاب نعم. What is the meaning of this ayah? يعني remember when Musa what? Said to his family, I see a fire,
I will
bring back or retrieve from some information, Well, give him a burning torch so that you may benefit. So you may benefit, you may warm yourselves. And this is on the occasion what? When they were traveling through the land and they were lost from the road and it was cold, and he said that I will come back with some with khabarin. And I'll bring back a khabar from that fire, and some news about the road, the way, so we can find our way. Or a burning torch or burning coals so that we can warm ourselves. And this concern for his family being lost and being cold before prophethood, yani, what is the significance of this? Naam, Ahmed. So what would be his condition after prophethood? Yani, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with his to deliver his messages and spoken to him directly, what would be his condition then towards his family? Yani, and this is significant to some of us, perhaps, who were not Muslims, yani, from Muslim families, and we embraced Islam. And if we were, yani, good in any way to our families before Islam, then how could we be after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us and guided us to Islam? How should we be? We should be better. In everything, whatever it was, we should be better as Muslims than we were before Islam. And some people had good characteristics and good qualities even before Islam. They had something. And then Islam enhances all of that. Naam. And a lot of people had good qualities before Islam. Not everybody. Some of you probably remember when you were in elementary school, a teacher probably said something good about you. This is a bright child. This child is going to have a future or something. And then we almost disappointed them, but Allah guided us to Islam. And then it came forth. Naam. Came forth. Islam, and he enhances everything. And question number 6. Memorize and discuss the supplication of Zakariya alayhi salam, which shows his concern for his offspring, mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 38th Ayat. And what was the supplication of Zakariya? Naam, Abu Jamil. Naam, and the meaning of this? He called his Lord, my Rabb, naam. Grant me from you, dhurriyatan tayyibatan, pure, good, yani offspring. Naam, innaka. You are the one who hears, the all-hearer of dua, you're the one who hears the supplication. Naam. And what is the significance of this dua? Naam, Ahmed.
Called on Allah to make his offspring tayyib before he even came.
Naam, he asked Allah to make them tayyib, yani to purify them, to make them good in character and manners and in yani the things that are of benefit. Make them good before they were even born, before they were created, before they came into this world. And this also reminds us of the importance of calling upon Allah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani praying for our children, even before they're born, before they come into this world. Asking Allah, yani, that Allah bless us with good, pure offspring. Especially if we know that they're on the way, inshallah, then even more so we should be making a lot of dua. Question number 7, complete and memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best of you is he who is best to his, he who is best to his what? His family. Naam. What's this hadith naam? Naam. And the meaning of it?
The best of you are the best of you who are the best of family, and I am the best of my family.
Naam. Khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi. Yani the best of you is he who is best to his family. Wa ana khayrukum?
And I am the best of you to his family.
Li ahlihi. And I am the best of you to my family. Naam. Akhrajahu at-Tirmidhi. Naam. Jazakallah khair, ya Abdullah. And question number 8, give examples of the ongoing obligations of the Prophet ﷺ which nonetheless did not prevent him from serving his family. And the Shaykh mentioned 10 or 11 or 12 things, yani from amongst the ongoing duties of the Prophet ﷺ, in spite of the fact that he was doing all of these things, it didn't stop him from attending to his family. From amongst them, one, he was teaching the people, naam. He was calling the people to Allah, naam. He was leading the Salat. Naam. Governing the people's state of affairs. Naam. Judging between them. Making judgments between the people and their disputes. Preparing the armies. Naam. Musa. Visiting the sick. Naam. Shuaib. Yeah, we have three Shuaibs here tonight. Now. Huh? Preparing the dead? No, I'm preparing the dead, Yani. Preparing the people who died, the funerals, for the funerals. Now. Now? Fatawa, yani giving legal rulings. Now. Participating in the battles. Branding the cattle of the sadaqah, naam, for sadaqah, naam. Receiving delegations. Did we miss anything? Naam.
Trustworthy.
He was trustworthy, naam. But we're talking about his duties, the things that he would occupy with doing, the things that he had to do on a daily basis that took a lot of his time. And yet, in spite of that, he still was consistent in attending to the needs and the rights of his family. Now, huh? Zakat, distributing the zakat. Now, okay, yes. And he also, we'll come to the examples of him with the children. Now, next question. Give one example of how the Prophet ﷺ gave attention to the small children. Now, ya Adam. What were you saying? Playing with Hassan and Hussein. Now, what else? Naam, Abdurrahim. Naam, yani if one of his grandchildren would climb on his back, specifically he mentioned Hussein, that if he would climb on his back and he was prostrating, he would remain in prostration until he got down from him. Naam, what else? Yeah. Musa. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. When Hassan, his grandson, took one of the days from the sadaqah and put it in his mouth, and the Prophet ﷺ did what? Khikh. Naam, he says, yani stop, take it out, get rid of it. Yani, do you not know? Ama sha'arta ama, yani alimta, ama ta'arifu, anna la na'akul as-sadaqa, that we don't eat from the sadaqa, yani the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. And also his, yani, Ya Zuwainib. Yani Zainab al-Saghira, yani his granddaughter named Zainab, he used to, and he played with her by calling her this name, yani, of endearment. Yani Tasghir of Zainab, Zuwainib. Zuwainib, Ya Zuwainib. And the last question, what advice did he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give to Fatima, radiallahu anha, when she requested a servant? What advice did he give? Naam, we didn't see you yet, Ibrahim, mashallah. Ibrahim is back. Jazakallah khair, mashallah. Welcome, ahlan bik. May Allah accept, inshallah. He told her to make dhikr, naam. Naam. So anybody want to add to that? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Specifically, he told her, first thing he said to her, what? Allahu Akbar 34 times, and then? And then? Alhamdulillah 33 times, and then Subhanallah 33 times. Abdullah wants to add, he wants to correct something here. Now, I hope. Came to both of them. She asked for the servant, but he addressed both of them. Now, shall I not direct the two of you to that which is better than better for you two? يعني ألا أدلكما على خير لكما من خادم. يعني shall I, she asked for the servant, he came and addressed both of them together. Shall I not point the two of you to that which is better for the two of you? Not just better for her who wants the servant, better for both of you. This is a family, this is a unit, we're in this together. And some people think if they do something for their wife, it's for her. It's for you too. If you make her situation easy for her, you benefit also. If you educate her, if you teach her, if you help her, you encourage her, or she likewise, reverse. Yani it goes both ways. That we're in this together. Now, these are some of the things that we talked about last week. Tonight, we want to discuss two characteristics. Before that, just quickly. Yani we already discussed eight characteristics from the characteristics of the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. Can somebody name one of them, of the characteristics that we discussed previously? One of those eight. Naam. Having khashya of Allah. Naam. Okay, yani, if they made a mistake, asking forgiveness of Allah, that's part of it. Naam. Uh-huh. Huh?
Family,
diligence and care for their families. Naam.
Forbearance.
Yani, naam. Forbearance. They didn't like take revenge for things done to them personally. Naam, Shuaib.
Thankfulness to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
Huh?
Thankfulness
and gratitude to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Naam, Musa. Huh? Yusari'una fil khayrat. Hastening and doing of good. Naam. Ahmed. Naam, fulfilling promises, oath and contracts. Anything else? Naam, Adam.
Dutiful to parents.
Naam, dutiful to parents. I think that's 8. Mashallah. And I'm saying this to us, yani, just so that we don't forget. And what we covered in the past, we have to keep these things in our mind. And we have to be striving and struggling to try to characterize ourselves with these characteristics. The first characteristic that we want to discuss tonight is the ninth characteristic of the prophets and messengers that the Shaykh has mentioned here. Tahammuluhum alayhimu salam as'ilatan nas. Yani, they're bearing patiently the questioning of the people, the questions of the people. Yani, the constant request, demands, questions of the people. Yani, they were patient with this. People were asking them all kind of questions, making demands of them, making requests from them, challenging them, and they were patient with all of this. They were patient with all of this. This is from the characters of the prophets and messengers. Yani, if you are in a position where people come to you to request, to ask about something, information, knowledge, whatever it may be, help, assistance, if you're in that position, be patient. Be patient with the people for the benefit, inshallah, that will come to you from Allah. The Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ أَخْلَقِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ تَحَمُّلُ أَسْئِلَةِ النَّاسِ. Yani, from the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, the good yani character traits of the prophets and messengers is they're bearing patiently the questioning and request of the people. إِنَّ عَلَى دَاعِ الْخَيْرِ وَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدُهُ عِلْمٌ أَنْ يَتَحَمَّلَ أَسْئِلَةَ النَّاسِ. Indeed, it is incumbent upon the one who is calling to good and whoever has with them knowledge, even if they're not yani a da'iya, even if they're not calling, but they have some knowledge of this deen especially, it is incumbent upon them to bear patiently the questioning of the people. لِأَنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ مَصَالِحُ كَثِيرَةٌ. Because in doing so, in bearing patiently their questioning, there are many benefits. Many benefits. And the Shaykh mentions just a few of them. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهَا قُرْبَةٌ يَتَقَرَّبُ بِهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani, the most important of them, Allahu A'lam, I'm saying the most important of them, the Shaykh just said, and from them, is that it is a means of nearness, a qurba, through which a person may get near to Allah. What more could you ask for? If that's all it was, that's enough. That you being patient with the questioning of the people is a means of nearness to get near to Allah. This is a tremendous benefit. وَيُعْجَرُ عَلَيْهَا. Second, he said, and you're also given ajr, reward, for doing so. If you are patient with their questions, and if you know the answer, be patient and answer. No, even if they ask you 10 or 20 or 50 questions, if they come every day asking questions, if you have the answer, give it. If you don't have the answer, as Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, what? Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amali. Yani, the knowledge precedes speech and action. If you don't have knowledge of it, don't speak. Don't speak. But you will be rewarded if you are doing so. وَتَزِيلُ جَهْلَ عِنْدَ السَّائِلِ. And a third great benefit is that it removes the ignorance of the questioner. Person comes and asks a question, they don't know. If you are able to answer their question, you are removing the ignorance of the questioner. And he goes on to say, وَيَسْتَمِرُ الْأَجْرِ يَجْرِي عَلَيْهِ إِذَا انْتَشَرَ خَبْرُ جَوَابِهِ عَلَى أَسْئِلَةِ النَّاسِ. And this reward that he gets for answering their questions will continue, will be ongoing. It will be ongoing if or when the news of his answering the questions of the people spreads. Yani, the answers that he gave to the people, when those answers spread, then his reward will be continuous. Yani, as long as people are benefiting from those answers, other than the one that he answered the question for, his reward will be continuous. As long as the news of his answering Yani his answers that he gave to the questions of the people spreads. فَلَا تَتَحَاوَنُوا فِي ذَلِكَ. So don't take this matter lightly. Don't take this matter lightly. This is a serious matter that people come to you and ask a question if you have the ability to answer. Don't take this matter lightly. احرس رعاك الله على أن تعود نفسك تحمل أسئلة الناس. But rather be eager and diligent. احرس. May Allah protect and preserve you. Upon accustoming, making yourself get used to bearing patiently the questions of the people. Be eager to do so. As the Prophet ﷺ said, احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واستعن بالله, and seek help from Allah. Ask Allah's help in doing so. ولا تعجز, and don't feel helpless that you can't do it. Yani make the effort, seek help from Allah, put your trust in Allah, and do not yani give up. احرس. Be eager in training yourself, in accustoming yourself, in getting used to being patient with the questions of the people. لِأَنَّهُمْ مَا أَتَوْا إِلَيْكَ. Because they didn't come to you إِلَّا لِعِلْمِكَ وَلِمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ. Because they didn't come to you just haphazardly. They didn't come to you except because of your knowledge and that which Allah has given you. And that which Allah has given to you is because Allah has given you something. Now you become responsible for that. They only came to you because they thought you had some knowledge, or they knew that Allah has given you something, and they came asking you for something from what Allah has given you, whether it's knowledge or other than that. Whether it's knowledge or other than that, it could be your wealth, it could be your yani advice, it could be influence that you have with other people to assist them if they came and asked your help and assistance. Be patient with the people who came to you because Allah has given you something and they came to you to ask from it. Look at the lives of the Anbiya alayhim salam. كَيْفَ كَانُوا يَتَحَمَّلُونَ أَسْئِلَةِ النَّاسِ. How they used to bear patiently the questioning, the questions of the people. وَسَوَاءً كَانَتْ تِلْكَ الْأَسْئِلَةِ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ أَوْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And it is the same whether those questions were from the disbelievers or from the Muslims. They bore patiently the questions of the people, whether they were kafirs or whether they were Muslims. وَسَوَاءً كَانَتْ تِلْكَ الْأَسْئِلَةِ لِتَحْسِيلِ أَمْرِ الدِّينِ أَوْ دُنْيَا. And it is the same. There's no difference whether those questions was yani in order to achieve something from the affair of the deen, a religious matter, or a worldly matter. Yani sometimes the people came to the prophets asking something about the deen, and sometimes they came asking something about the dunya, maybe some worldly affair. But whatever it is, bear patiently yani the questions of the people. فَقَدْ كَانُوا عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ يَتَحَمَّلُونَ كُلَّ ذَلِكَ. Indeed, they used to bear patiently all of that, from the kuffar, from the Muslims, from the affairs of the deen and the affairs of the dunya. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ تِلْكَ الْأَسْئِلَةِ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ فَذَلِكَ لِرَجَاعِ حِدَايَتِهِمْ. Yani if those questions were from the disbelievers, their responding to their questions was in hope of guiding them. It was in hope of giving them guidance. You know, when the kafirs came to ask them something, they answered their question. They responded to their request in hope of them receiving hidayah. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَذَلِكَ لِتَكُونَ الْإِجَابَةُ زِيَادَةً فِي تَعْلِيمِهِمْ لِأَمْرِ دِينِهِمْ. And if those questions was from the Muslims, then this was with the hope that their answering their question or responding to their request, that it would be a means of ziyada, increase in their learning of the affair of their deen. And if it was from the kuffar, it was with hope that they would be guided by it. And if it was from the Muslims, that it would be a means of increase in their learning the affairs of their deen. Here the Shaykh, he gives four examples. Hafidhullah, four examples of prophets and yani of their people questioning them. Sometimes those questions were yani not sincere questions. Yani meaning that they were not coming asking, I don't understand this, explain it to me, I don't know about this, tell me how to pray, how. No, sometimes it was other than that. But they bore that patiently too. Sometimes it was stubbornness from their people. Sometimes it was a challenge to them from their people. Sometimes it was a real question, that the people, a real request from the people that they were in need of. But whatever it was, they bore it patiently. The first example is the example of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Musa, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ تَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصِلِهَا. Yani, remember when you people said, O Musa, we cannot bear patiently one type of food. Yani, manna wa salwa. Yani, what was that? Manna wa the, huh? And the quails. They said, this one type of food, we can't bear patiently this. So, we order you, we command you, we request from you to call upon your Rabb that He bring forth from that which the earth brings forth, from the green herbs that come from the earth that are not on trees, from the plants that come up from the earth, from the cucumbers, from the garlic or wheat, according to the different tafsirs. Some said fumiha means, yani, thum, garlic, and some said it means hanfa, wheat. Wa'adasiha, lentils, wa'basaliha, onions. Yani, call upon your Lord to give us some variety of stuff. We want some other things. We're not satisfied with this one type of food. قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Yani, will you exchange that which is less for that which is khair, better? Yani, what you have is from the ni'mah of Allah. And Allah has caused you to have this food without any labor. The blessing, ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the manna, it came from the earth. Like something you don't have to plant or cultivate anything, it comes up from the earth. And the quail came from the sky, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're eating good, and then you want to give up that which is better for that which is less. Allahu musta'an. Yani, a good food, a beneficial food. Yani, an easy food that was easy for them. Didn't require them to do any work, and they want to give this up. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 61st ayat. So they were asking Musa with hope that he would give them some diversity or variety in what they were eating. And they did not ask him mas'alatin ilmiyatin. Yani, it wasn't a yani knowledge-based question. It wasn't a scholastic or question of creed or deen. It was some food. They want variety in food. And Musa bore patiently. He bore it patiently. And he bore patiently all of the questions of Bani Israel. Raja hidayatihim. What? And hope of what? Hidayatim. I hope that they would be guided. He was patient. And this is the example for us. That we be patient and hope that these disbelievers will be guided. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added him, or commanded him, yani ordered him, or ordered them, لَمَّا أَمَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذَبَ الْبَقْرَةِ, yani when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to sacrifice, to slaughter a cow, and Musa alayhi salam informed them of that, they asked him a number of questions, and he made each one of those questions clear. He answered every question that they came with, such that, yani it's mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 67th, 68th, and 69th ayat, in those, in that area, yani continuous narration of this, yani, and the Shaykh summarizes it, and we'll summarize it for the sake of time. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقْرَةً. Yani, remember when Musa said to his people, indeed Allah has commanded you to slaughter a cow, baqaratan, a cow, any cow. But due to their stubbornness and their rebelliousness, they didn't take the easy way that Allah had made it easy for them. Just slaughter a cow, any cow. He didn't make no specifics on it. I mean, they could have took any cow that they had and they could have slaughtered it. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. Are you making mockery of us? You're making fun of us? And he slaughtered a cow. What is this? What kind of order is this? And Musa, he said to them, قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I seek refuge in Allah from being amongst the ignorant. This is not a game. And I'm telling you, Allah has ordered you to slaughter a cow, and you've been saying, am I making mockery of you? I'm playing games? It's not a game. I seek refuge in Allah from being amongst the ignorant. قَالُوا عُدُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. And this is the beginning of their series of questions that went on and on and on. They said, call upon your Lord and ask Him to make clear to us, ma hiya, yani, which kind of cow is it? Which, yani, age, what age cow do you, yani, is He ordering us? And Musa, fabayyana lahum, he made clear to them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was asking them to slaughter a cow. Now he's making some details because they requested it. So now Allah is yani giving them more specifics, making it a little bit more difficult, one that's not too old nor too young, but between this. قَالُوا ادْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيْن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. Now they said, okay, one that's in between age, so what color is it? Call on your Lord, ask him to make clear to us, what color is it? What color is it? Yani, what color cow? There's no need for all of that, right? So he makes clear it's a yellow cow, its color is bright and pleasing to those who look at it. He makes clear to them the answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, yani, said to him to tell them like this. Then they went on, call upon your Lord to make clear to us, مَا هِيَ إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. Yani, tell us more specifically, because all the cows look alike to us. They're all the same to us. We don't know. You got to be exact. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, strict, made it very strict on them. Yani, a cow that is not used for plowing the land, for watering the land. Yani, a cow that has specific, yani, is sound with no blemish, no defect, and so on. All of these, yani, characteristics that made it difficult for them to find a cow that fit this description. So Musa alayhi salam, he made it clear to them, all of the questions that they asked, he answered them in hope of what? In hope of their hidayah, that they would be guided to that which is right. لكن بعضهم جاهد فكان عاقبة أمره خسرا. But some of them denied and rejected, and the end of their affair was loss. Yani ruin, destruction. Yani they finally, yani the story is a long story. If you go back to the Tafsir Ibn Kathir or some of the books of Tafsir, yani the story is narrated in detail in great, great length. Yani, and we don't have the time to explain the story right now. But in any case, yani that cow, there was only one cow amongst the whole people, and it was with an old lady. And when she found that they needed this cow, she doubled the price on them. Made them pay. Naam. When they could have just sacrificed any cow in the beginning, but due to their rebelliousness, and some of them rejected, and some of them finally did, but they almost didn't, yani, accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. The second example you give is Salih. His people requested from him an ayah, yani an ayah, a great sign, that is a proof, yani, of who you claim you are and what you claim to be. This again is not a su'al ilmi. It is not a yani scholastic question or a creedal question related to aqidah. But rather, as the Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ أَرَادُوا آيَةً عَلَى صِدْقِهِ. They wanted a ayah, a sign, a proof of his truthfulness, that he was truthful, that Salih was truthful in his claim that he is a prophet and he has been sent to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because they claimed that he was a kathib, a liar, while they knew that he was truthful. وَلَكِنْ مِنْ بَابِ التَّعْجِيزِ. But they thought by asking for this sign that he wouldn't be able to do it, and that was a challenge to him. That we're gonna suggest this. You bring us a proof that you're really truthful. And they actually, what did they tell him to do? We want you to make, you see this big stone rock here, mountain? Rocks, pure, yani solid rock. Make a camel, a full-grown 10-month camel come out of here. Out of the rock. And how is that going to happen, right? So Salih, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked Allah, answer this request. For what reason? To guide, so the people would be guided. So Allah answered him and made the camel come out in front of the whole people, in front of their eyes to witness it. A camel came, a big gigantic camel. And then Allah made strict rules on them, that this camel is going to drink from your well, from your water. One day you don't get no drink from the well. The camel drinks, you drink his milk that day. And the next day you could drink from the water. The camel takes a break from the water. But after a while they couldn't take it anymore. They said, let's get rid of him. And they slaughtered the camel, and Allah destroyed them. Allah mentions, yani, the Shaykh mentions the allusion to this in the Quran, Surah Al-Shu'ara, 26 Surah, 154 and 155th Ayat, where they said, مَا أَنْتَ إِلَى بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. Yani, you're just a man like us. You don't have any excellent virtue or superiority over us, due to which we should follow you. Yani, why are you claiming that you're a messenger, we should follow you based on what? Who are you? Yani, why would you have been given revelation to the exclusion of us? You're not better than us. مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You're just a man like us. فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ. So bring us a proof. this particular proof we want, then we'll believe you. إن كنت من الصادقين, if you are truthful. قال هذه ناقة. He said to them, this is the she camel that you requested. The sign came out of the rock in front of your eyes. Everybody saw it. لا شرب ولكم شرب يوم المعلوم. It will have a day to drink, and you will also have a day that's well known to drink. يعني alternate days between you and the she camel. And some of the scholars of tafsir, they said that this request was not yani based on them really seeking guidance, but it was based on what? Their rebelliousness and their stubbornness. They only asked him this thinking that he wouldn't be able to do it, that Allah wouldn't yani respond to him. So some of them believed, but most of them disbelieved, and they were destroyed. Naam akhi? Naam. This ayah, this reference is in Surah Al-Shu'ara, 26 Surah, Ayah 154 and 155. And the third example that the Shaykh gives is the example of Isa alayhi salam. Some of his people requested from him to bring down, or to ask Allah to bring down upon them a ma'idah, yani food for them to eat from the sky. فَذَكَّرَهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَخَوَّفَهُمْ مِنْهُ. Now he reminded them of Allah and asked them to fear Allah, told them, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Yani this is not proper or befitting of you. Yani to ask for something like this, yani as though you're in need of a sign when you are the believing. These were believing people, the people who have believed in him. And he was telling them, fear Allah, that yani if you really need some food to eat, because they were in need, right, then put your trust in Allah for your provisions. Don't ask Allah to send food down from the sky. This is not befitting of you. But like, they insisted. They said, we need to eat from it, and so that our hearts would be content from it, and so that we would know that you have been truthful to us. And then we will also be witnesses upon this. Yani to the people who come later, we will be witnesses that you have yani called on Allah and Allah made this happen. Yani primarily they wanted it for what? Because they wanted some food to eat. They were in need of some food. And secondly, so that it would be an ayah, a sign. It would be a sign, and they would bear witness to it, and it would strengthen their iman. Yani in the same way that Ibrahim alayhi salam yani asked Allah to show him how you give life to the dead. He said, is that you don't believe? He said, it's not that I don't believe, but what? لِتَطْمَعِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ, so that the heart will be content. لِيَطْمَعِنَّ قَلْبِي, so that my heart will be yani contented by it. So here, yani they insisted, so Isa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this. He said, Allahumma rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama'i. O Allah, our Lord, send down upon us a ma'idah, a table spread with food from the sky, from the heavens. Takunu lana eidan li awwalina wa akhirina wa ayatan minka. So there will be an Eid, an occasion that we will celebrate in the future for the first of us and the last of us. And it will be yani an Eid for us, and it will be a sign for us from you. A sign yani of the truthfulness of the Prophet and his message, and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do whatever he wills, and so on. It will be a sign that will strengthen their hearts and strengthen their iman. وَرُزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And Isa said alayhi salam, and provide us, indeed you are the best of providers. Yani make it also as a means of provision, of food. Yani it will also be yani, so there is a worldly benefit and there is a religious benefit. Yani a maslaha in the deen, it will be an ayah, a sign to strengthen their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophethood of Isa alayhi salam. And it will also be a maslaha in their dunya, yani that it will be a means of food, for something for them to eat. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And the Shaykh mentions from the 5th Surah, 114th ayah. But yani the narration goes yani from before that and after that. Yani the 5th Surah, 114th ayah. Here the Shaykh says, فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ أَنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ يُلَبُّونَ أَسْئِلَةَ أَقْوَامِهِمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهَا تَعَنُّتٍ. Look at how the Prophets عليهم السلام, they used to respond to the questions or the request of their people, even if it was due to stubbornness, rebelliousness. They used to respond anyway, like the people of Musa, especially the Yahud, Bani Israel, stubborn people. That is, they used to respond to them, إِذَا كَانَ فِي إِجَابَتِهِمْ مَصْلَحَ فِي سَبِيلِ هِدَايَتِهِمْ. Yani, with the condition what? That in responding to their question or their request, there is a benefit in the way of them being guided. It was a benefit for the sake of them being guided, then they would respond to them. Whatever it was, even out of rebelliousness or whatever, they still would respond to their requests. The last example the Shaykh gives is an example about Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Indeed, he used to bear patiently the questions of his people, and he also used to bear patiently their requests for intercession, yani to intercede for somebody for a need, and whatever they used to request from him, he would do it if according to his ability, and if it was within his ability to do so, إِذَا كَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ مَصْلَحَ. Yani again with the condition what? If there was a maslaha, a benefit in responding to their question or responding to their request, if he had the ability to do it, he responded. إِن كَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ مَصْلَحَ. Yani if there's a benefit in doing it. If there's no benefit, then no. So the questions were many upon the Prophet ﷺ, and in spite of that, he was the most welcoming, and he was the what? Most patient and open-minded with all of the questioning of the people. The Shaykh mentions a series of questions that were asked to the Prophet ﷺ, and for the sake of time, we'll just go through them quickly. What is intended by these questions is what? Is to give us a sample of the multiple questions and types of questions that the people asked the Prophet ﷺ. That's just recorded in the Quran alone. Forget about what came in the Sunnah. Questions about personal matters, questions about social affairs, questions about the laws of Islam, questions about the hereafter, about history. All kinds of questions they asked him, and he bore patiently all of their questions. And if we look at the questions that they asked him in Hajj alone, the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu reported in Sahih Muslim. If we looked at the hadith of Jabir reported in Sahih Muslim, the longest hadith narrating the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many questions did people ask him in that hadith alone? They asked him about everything. They asked him about everything that you can imagine, and he just one after another bore patiently. And he answered their questions patiently. Here the Shaykh mentions from, and I'm just going to mention the references quickly. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah. And the first few ayats are all from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 189. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They ask you about the new moons. Yani what is the benefit or what is the ruling concerning the new moons, the hilal? Second question, also from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 215th ayat. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Yani they ask, what shall we spend? Yani of our wealth. Who shall we spend it upon? Who has most right to it? And so on. Third question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٌ فِي. They ask you about the sacred month and fighting in it. Yani the laws or rules related to such. The fourth question, that third question was from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 217th ayat. And the next one, Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 219th ayah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. This is a very interesting ayah here that requires some study. Yani they ask you about alcohol and gambling. This is a very important question, and the answer to it and the understanding, the correct understanding of the meaning of it. And I didn't number these questions. But anyway, the next question, six, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 220th ayah, 220, they ask you about the orphans, yani, and dealing with their wealth or their property. The next question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ. They ask you about the menstruation, yani, of the women. And that's the sixth question. And that's in Surah Al-Baqarah 222. And the seventh question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ. Yani they ask you, what is lawful for them, yani of foods, from Surah Al-Ma'idah, fifth surah, fourth ayat. And the eighth question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you about the spoils of war, yani who has the right to them, how are they to be distributed, and so on. This is in Surah Al-Anfal, eighth surah, first ayat. And this ayat also is a very important ayat. All of them are important, but because it deals with what? Making reconciliation between differing brothers and sisters. This first ayat, very important ayat, yani, dealing with this topic. The ninth ayat, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. and from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 187. They ask you about the hour, yani the hour of judgment. When will it come? When is its appointed time? The 10th question, and this is also a tremendous ayat. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the ruh, the spirit. And this, in the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'adi, if anybody can go back to it, Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 85th ayat, very beautiful, brief tafsir concerning this matter. The 11th question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. They ask you about ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ. يعني the story, what is this history about this? This is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 83rd Ayat. And the 12th question, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ. يعني they ask you about the mountains. يعني the mountains, what are going to happen to the mountains? What will Allah do to the mountains? يعني in judgment. يعني this mentioned in Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 105th Ayat. And then the Shaykh mentions, يَسْأَلُونَكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. That the people of the book ask you to bring down a book for them from the sky. This is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 153rd Ayat. And this is a sample of some of the questions, all types of questions that we said about the laws of Islam, about history, about the judgment day, about personal matters, social matters, and so on. They asked the Prophet all kinds of questions, and the Quran yani completes yani the answers, what Allah told him how to answer those questions. Yani we should go back and read yani these ayat and the tafsir. The Shaykh ends by saying, and we still have 15 minutes before the Iqamah, the Shaykh ends by saying, هذه بعض الأسئلة وما ذلك كان عليه الصلاة والسلام يجيب بما علمه الله. These are just some of the questions, and in spite of that, he used to answer all of their questions with what Allah had taught him. And he didn't freestyle. He didn't make it up as he went along. Bima allamahu Allah. Answer the questions of the people, but if you don't know the answer, don't make it up. From the knowledge that you have been that you have received from the Quran and from the Sunnah, don't make it up. Don't make it up. فَإِذَا أَمُرْهُ اللَّهُ بِالْأَمْسَاكِ أَمْسَكَ. So if Allah commanded him to remain silent, don't respond. You don't know the answer to this, just wait. Then he remains silent. وَهَذَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِي الْمَعْلَمِ التَّالِي. And this will become clear in the following characteristic. يعني, and this يعني, is relatively brief. يعني, we're going to try to cover as much of it as possible, the following characteristic. And that is the 10th characteristic of the prophets and messengers. وَرَعُهُمْ وَحِذْرُهُمْ وَحَذَرُهُمْ. Yani their piety and cautiousness and carefulness, taking precautions, من القول على الله عز وجل بلا علم, from speaking about Allah or about the deen of Allah without knowledge. They're taking every precaution, being careful, yani being wary of just answering any kind of way. From the characteristics of the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam is that they were the most pious of all people. They were the most careful and cautious of all people from speaking about Allah without knowledge. Some people today, anybody asks them anything, they know the answer to everything. About Islam and everything else. About everything else, no problem. Say whatever you want to say. But about Islam, beware. This is a dangerous, extremely dangerous matter beyond what we can imagine. They were very careful. ذلك لأن القول على الله بلا علم من أعظم الموبقات بل هو أعظمها. Because to speak about Allah without knowledge is from the most severe of الموبقات, of destructive matters that cause a person to be ruined. بل هو أعظمها. Rather, it is the gravest, the most dangerous of those things that cause a person's destruction, speaking about the deen of Allah without knowledge. Here he quotes from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah a saying that is tremendous. It's tremendous. وَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْقَوْلَ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فِي الْفُطْيَا وَالْقَضَى. That indeed, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram to speak about him without knowledge in giving legal rulings or in judgments in the disputes between the people. وَجَعَلَهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ And he has made it from the gravest, severest, most dangerous of the things that he has prohibited. Bal, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, Bal, rather, not from amongst the gravest of them, بَلْ جَعَلَهُ فِي الْمَرْتَبَةِ الْعُولَى مِنْهَا Rather, he made it in the highest level, the most severe of all prohibited things. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى What is this proof of this? The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 33rd Ayat. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَبَطَنَ وَمَا بَطَنَ Yani say, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, indeed, my Rabb has made haram, forbidden al-fawahisha, indecencies, مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ That which is, yani apparent from it, seen openly, and that which is hidden, maybe from the indecencies of the heart. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ Second level, sin. And transgression without a right. Transgression upon the rights of the people that you don't have a right to do. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا And third level he said, and that you associate something with Allah that He has not sent down any authority for. You don't have a right to make it as an equal or a partner or a share with Allah in it. And the fourth level Allah mentions, وَأَنْ تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And that you say about Allah that which you don't know. Ibn Qayyim says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has رتب المحرمات أربع مراتب that Allah has arranged the prohibited things in four levels he began بأسهلها he began with the least the lesser of them and that is الفواحشة indecencies ثم ثن بما هو أشد تحريما منه then secondly he came with that which is more severe in its prohibition than the first one of them That is, al-ithm wa dhulm, yani sin and transgression, oppression. ثم ثلث بما هو أعظم تحريما منهما. And then thirdly, he came with that which is greater in prohibition than those first two. وهو الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. And that is, yani committing shirk به, yani with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ثم ربع بما هو أشد تحريما من ذلك كله. And then fourthly, he came with that which is more severe in its prohibition than all of what has preceded it. وَهُوَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِ بِلَا عِلْمٍ And that is, speaking about Allah without knowledge. Yani this is the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged, yani the basic prohibited things that was prohibited on all nations into four categories. And he mentioned in this ayat, the least of them first, and then that which is worse than it, and then that which is worse than both of them, and that which is the worst, the most severe, the severest, the gravest of them all. وَهَذَا يَعُمُّ Speaking about Allah without knowledge is general. يَعُمُّ الْقَوْلَ عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِلَا عِلْمٍ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ وَفِي دِينِهِ وَشَرْعِهِ And this is general, inclusive of saying, speaking about Allah without knowledge, concerning His names, concerning His characteristics, qualities, concerning His actions, or speaking about Allah without knowledge in terms of His deen, or in that which He has legislated. Or in that which He has legislated. And this is mentioned by Ibn Qayyim in his book, A'lam al-Muwaqqi'een an Rabbil Alameen, first volume, 30, page 38. Here the Shaykh says, after this quote from Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, indeed the prophets of Allah, they were أبعد الناس وأحذر الناس من القول على الله بلا علم يعني they were the most distant of the people and the most cautious and careful of the people of speaking about Allah without knowledge ومن شواهد ذلك and from the examples of that the Shaykh gives three examples and this is what we're going to close with and I would like to look at some tafsir but we might not have time so we'll like skip it inshallah but the examples that the Shaykh has given us quickly This is for examples for us to look at how the prophets were careful and they were cautious and they were wary and they were concerned about saying something about Allah, anything that was said about Allah, if they had said it and they realized their error. The first example is Nuh alayhi salam. When he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save his son, and Allah censured him, reprimanded him, saying, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ Don't ask me about that which you have no knowledge of. Yani Nuh alayhi salam thought maybe that his son was included in the promise of Allah to save his family. But Allah said, he's not from your family. He misunderstood. So Allah made it clear to him, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي. Don't ask about that which you don't have knowledge of. إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I, yani, warn you from being amongst the ignorant. Nuh alayhi salam says, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next ayat, and this is all in Surah Tuhud, 11th Surah, 46th and 47th ayat, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَن أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Oh my Lord, I seek refuge in you from asking you that about which I don't have any knowledge. I seek refuge in you. And after that, he prayed to Allah. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي. He prayed to Allah. This is dua. And if you did not forgive me and have mercy upon me, oh, meaning, oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me, what I have done. For if you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, أَكُنْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. I fear that I will be amongst the losers. Those who are destroyed. So here the Shaykh says that Nuh alayhi salam, he supplicated to his Rabb and he showed fear of Allah, fear of being amongst the losers, after seeking refuge in Allah from speaking about that which he has no knowledge of. After seeking refuge from Allah, after saying, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلُكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ. I seek refuge from action that which I have no knowledge. Then he asks Allah, oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me, for I fear, if not, then I will be amongst the loses. The second example the Shaykh gives is the example of Isa alayhi salam, عندما سأله ربه, yani when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, and Allah is the best knower, yani of the answer. Allah knows when he's asking him the answer to the question. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran, Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 116th ayah, and we looked at this ayah previously in another session. أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Yani, have you said to the people, take me and my mother as two gods besides Allah? Have you said that, Ya Isa? And Isa said, Subhanak. Yani, I declare your perfection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're the one who's perfect. It's not possible that such could be said. You are perfect. You're without, yani, any partner or associate or anyone that's equal to your shares with you. Ma yakunu li an akuna ma laysa li bihaqtin. It is not my right to say that which I have no right to say. And it's not possible, it's not befitting, it's not becoming of me to even say such a thing, to the end of his answer that we mentioned in detail previously. This is in Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 116th ayat. And here the Shaykh says that it's not, yani, ma yakunu li, it's not befitting of me to say that which I have no right to say. And that is because the ilahiyya, divinity, the right to be worshipped, is the haqq of Allah alone. It's the right of Allah alone. And it is not befitting, it's not becoming of any created being to claim such ilahiyya. How can he have claimed, take me and my mother as two gods besides Allah? And the last example the Shaykh gives is our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, أَدَّبَهُ رَبُّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَقَالَ لَهُ, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala educated him, yani cultivated him with proper manners and teaching him, saying to him, قُلْ, yani he told the Prophet, ordered the Prophet, say, لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِ خَزَائِنَ اللَّهِ. I'm not saying to you people that I have control over the treasures of Allah. I'm not making such a claim. وَلَا عَالَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And I don't know the unseen. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. And I'm not saying to you that I am an angel. Yani, be careful what you say. Allah is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, I do not say to you that I have the treasures of Allah. I do not claim that I have knowledge of the unseen. I do not say to them, I am an angel. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُوا إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. I only follow that which has been revealed to me. Meaning that I only say and I only act upon revelation, the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْعَمَى وَالْبَصِيرَ. Say, are the blind and the seeing person equal? أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Will you not then reflect? Okay, we have 2 minutes. Just quickly, I want to share with you, yani, after a long search, I was trying to find some of the scholars of tafsir. I read about 25 tafsirs, searching for something to support what Ibn Qayyim is saying here. I found the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di in his tafsir of the ayat, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Yani, from Surah Al-A'raf 733, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, وَأَنْ تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Yani, and that you say about Allah that which you don't have knowledge of in His names or His sifat or His actions or His legislation. For all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited it, and He has prohibited His servants from violating such a prohibition. Why? Why is it such a severe matter to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of? لِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْفَسَائِدِ مِنَ الْمَفَاسِدِ الْخَاسَ وَالْعَامَ. يعني due to what it contains of مَفَاسِدِ, يعني harms, corruption, الْخَاسَ وَالْعَامَ, to the individual and to the general people. يعني not only destroys the person, but it destroys the people who are listening to what you are making up. وَلِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الظُّلْمِ وَالتَّجَرِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ. And due to what it contains of ظلم, transgression, and تجري, يعني person just taking liberties with Allah, saying about Allah what they don't have no knowledge of. وَلِمَا فِيهَا وَالْإِسْتِطَالَةِ عَلَى عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. And also for a person putting themselves above the people, making up stuff, telling the people something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to what is in it of تَغْيِيرُ دِينِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّرْعِ, and due to what it contains of changing the deen of Allah and His legislation. And in another place, in a similar ayat, in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 169th ayat, Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di says, وَأَن تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. يعني speaking about Allah without knowledge, مِنْ أَكْبَرَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَأَشْمَلُهَا. It is from the gravest, the biggest, the worst of the prohibited things, and the most comprehensive of them. And it covers so many things. وَأَكْبَرَ تُرْقَ الشَّيْطَانِ الَّذِي يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ. And it is from the greatest ways, paths of shaitan, which he calls people to. And he calls people to what? To speak about Allah without knowledge. And finally, in the Tafsir al-Manar by Shaykh Muhammad Rashid Rida, and there's some kalam concerning him that we don't have to be concerned with, but in any case, yani what he said in this Tafsir is jameel, and then we'll close with this. Please be patient with me. Al-Qawl ala Allahi bighayri ilm. Yani the same ayah from Surah Al-A'raf 7, Surah 32nd and 33rd ayah, القول على الله بغير علم, speaking about Allah without knowledge. وهو أعظم هذه الأنواع من أصول المحرمات الذاتية. And it is the greatest or the gravest or the most severe of these types of the fundamentals of prohibited things that are prohibited in and of themselves. يعني, in other words, there are things that are prohibited of all types. Some of them are prohibited because it in and of itself is prohibited. And some things are prohibited for other reasons. It may be prohibited for you, for example, to utilize something that has been stolen. But that thing in and of itself is not prohibited. We're talking about the things that in and of themselves are prohibited. Thati, yani within their self. Of those types of things, the fundamentals of prohibited matters to all the prophets and messengers, from the greatest of them, the gravest of them, the most severe of them, التي حرمها الله تعالى في دينه على السنة جميع رسله. Yani those things that Allah has made prohibited in His deen on the tongues of all of the messengers. These things, from the most severe of them, it is speaking about Allah without knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ, and then he mentions, yani three reasons why. فَإِنَّهُ أَصْلُ الْأَدْيَانِ الْبَاطِلَةِ. Because speaking about Allah without knowledge is what? The foundation of false religions. Every false religion that the people just made up, like somebody sat in the house and just made something up. Every false religion, the foundation of it, the asal of it, is speaking about Allah without knowledge. Is this severe or is it not severe? Speaking about Allah without knowledge led people to make up religions. And they're all over the world today, all over this city and this country, people are making up religions. Secondly, وَمَنْشَى تَحْرِيفْ الْأَدْيَانِ الْمُحَرَّفَةِ. And it is the place of origin. It is the origin of the corruption or the deviation that came into the corrupted or deviated religions. Meaning religions that was originally from a prophet or a messenger, that was originally true religion, and it was Islam, and then the people corrupted it. That's different from the false religion that people just made up. This is the religion, the Christian religion, right? Originally, Isa alayhi salam came with Islam, and then the people corrupted it. So the origin of the corruption of religions that were originally true, its origin is what? Speaking about Allah without knowledge. They just made up some stuff. Isa is the son of Allah. Allah is three gods. They just made that up. They spoke about Allah without knowledge. And they caused the deen that was true to become corrupted. And thirdly, he said, and this, speaking about Allah without knowledge, is also يعني شبهة الابتداع في الدين الحق. And it is the يعني the شبهة, يعني the doubtful matter that caused ibtida, yani it caused bidah, innovation in the true religion. Yani the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, yani innovation came into this religion. From what? From people speaking about Allah without knowledge. And the Shaykh goes on, but yani time. And he gives three good reasons to see the gravity of speaking about Allah without knowledge, and that is that every false religion, its origin is speaking about Allah without knowledge. And every religion that was originally true that became corrupted is due to people who spoke about Allah without knowledge. And even the true religion of Islam, that which came, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, it has also, yani innovation has entered into it, widespread, worldwide, every place we go, there's corruption, deviation in the deen of Haqq. People claiming that they follow the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to innovation, whose cause is the doubtful matters in the doubts, yani the ignorant doubts of the people who speak about Allah without knowledge. And I heard a man say, and I'm gonna close with this. And I was troubled to a brother from this masjid after the Fajr prayer in another masjid. He said, the brother said, "So you don't pray here much in that particular masjid?" He said, "No, you know, Allah is with me everywhere." The brother said, "Oh, you mean you pray in other masjids?" He said, "Allah speaks to me all the time." The brother said, "So you are one of those people?" And he walked away from him. Actually, if you would have heard the whole conversation, he was just saying one thing after another, just making it up, speaking about Allah without knowledge. Allah speaks to you everywhere. Allah is with you everywhere. You don't have to go to the masjid. You're praying when you're walking, yani, when you're in the bathroom, wherever, I don't know. This is, yani, the result. This corruption from a person who's probably not a filthy, evil person, but yani, what is it? Shubha. Their mind is corrupted with doubts. They don't have knowledge, ignorance. And this is what it leads to. People saying things that have no basis whatsoever in the deen of Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.